And again, bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. And again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. Now, there is an outline of the morning lesson in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. It comes partly from the text that was read to us this morning. There's a phrase that Paul uses in the books of Timothy and Titus. The phrase where he says, "This is a faithful saying." He said five times in those three letters. So we're going to take a look at each one of those times that Paul says, "This is a faithful saying." By definition, something's a faithful saying. It means it's true. It's worth taking notice of. It's a faithful saying. They're words to be believed. If it's faithful, I want to accept it. Seems like if it's faithful, there's a message intended that I want to apply to my life. I need to take it to heart. Perhaps these words you think of, they are eternal truth. They're faithful sayings. They're trustworthy. They're reliable. They're dependable. Paul gives us five faithful sayings. He says also that they are worthy of all acceptance. They're worthy, valuable, to be treasured, desired. They obviously must be important, significant. Think of the opposite meaning of a faithful saying, and it's worthy. That means it's worthless, or it's good for nothing. These are worthy sayings. Worthy. And then he says, worthy of all acceptance. I put in your notes, by definition, to be taken without protest. Don't fight it. To be taken without protest. To receive. Take possession of. To believe. This is a faithful saying. Number one, 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning of verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that, and here it is, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy. Good. But the saying, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that's true. That's worth something. I can depend upon that. And I want to receive that saying without protest. It's worthy of acceptance. When Jesus was introduced by the angel to Joseph, in Matthew 1 verse 21, the angel said, "Joseph, Mary, your wife, she's going to bring forth a son. You call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus and Savior. In Romans 5, verse 6, these aren't in your notes, you have to write them down. But in Romans 5, verse 6, Paul said, "Christ died for us. And so now, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." It's a faithful saying. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. When Paul thinks about that, he says, "I'm chief of sinners." He's probably thinking to himself, "You know what I did before I became a Christian? My sins were pretty horrible. And I committed those sins for a long time. And there were too many. I wonder if God can save me." So he thought of himself as the chief of sinners. "I'm the worst persecuting the church." But he said, "But I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy." So he's saying, if God, to Timothy and to others who would read the letter, "God can save me, who I think of myself as the worst of all, the chief of sinners, God can save you. There's no one too bad or too horrible. But what God's mercy can be extended and saved." Number two, said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, this won't apply to everybody. But there's a faithful saying, Paul says. If a man, so it's a male that's to hold this position of a bishop. And in the qualifications, in the verses right after this, he's to be a husband. Then he refers to that position of a bishop. I put in your notes by definition. It's a reference to a group of men in the congregation. Having displayed the requirements that Paul outlines in the following verses of this faithful saying. And these men are approved by the congregation to hold that position. That office, King James Version uses. The word bishop that's used here is not the only word that's used to describe those men who hold that position or that office. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 17, Paul said, when he's on his missionary journey, says, from Miletus, Paul, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. There's the word elders. And in verse 28, he says, therefore to these elders, I want you to take heed to yourselves and to all the flock which is among you, with which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's an interesting phrase too. Don't overlook that one. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So in those verses you have the word elders, shepherd, and overseers. So now we add to our word bishop, elder, shepherd, and overseer, referring to the same office. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Paul said to Timothy, don't neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership, or King James uses the word presbytery. So now you have the words to the elders, the bishop, the overseer, the presbyter, and the shepherd. All five words referring to the same group of men. So Paul says if a man desires this position, it's a faithful saying, he desires a good work. So the leadership, these men that are in that position, have more on their shoulders than just holding an office or a position. Desires a good work. And these names or these words that are used to describe that office describe either their function or their relationship to one another or their relationship to the congregation. The words bishop and overseer have a similar meaning. It's the duty of seeing that things are done by, that the things that are to be done by others are done properly or rightly. We would probably might use the word superintendent. So they oversee. The words elder and presbyter are similar. It means they're older in faith. They have spiritual maturity or spiritual experience. In giving the qualification right after this in verse 6, they are not to be a novice. So you have the words elder or presbyter, mature, older in the faith. Then the word shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning of verse 1, Peter says, the elders who are among you I exhort. So Peter's writing to this leadership. To the elders who are among you I exhort. I who am a fellow elder. So Peter's classifying himself, I'm one of you elders and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And also a partaker of the glory which that will be revealed. So he tells in the next verse, admonishes these elders. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. So now to the elders, I want you to shepherd. Same word. serving as overseers. Peter uses all three words together. He says, not by compulsion or, but I want you to do it willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you. Don't lord it over the congregation. But being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Peter's not the chief shepherd. He's one of the elders, one of the overseers, one of the bishops, one of the presbyters, one of the bishops. I'm a fellow elder with you. The chief shepherd, there was not a chief shepherd among the apostles. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. When he shall appear, Peter said. So, Paul in this situation says, there's just another faithful saying. If a man desires the office of a or the position of a bishop, and then he gives the qualifications. Number three, the phrase is used in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and that was in the text that was read to us. In chapter 4, beginning of verse 8, Paul says, bodily exercise profits a little. Yeah, you can attest to that. Bodily exercise is good. He said, oh, but godliness is profitable for all things. Oh, there's a comparison, and there's something better than bodily exercise. Godliness. He said, and that has a promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those who believe. These things command and teach. It's a faithful saying. There's a contrast between the caring of the body and the far more important caring of the soul. It's a faithful saying. There's a priority in caring for the soul. As much effort, determination, and seeking information, and striving to make sure this body is well taken care of, Paul says, you know, there's something better. And this is a faithful saying. This is something that's true without dispute, can't be denied, is to be taken without protest. That's by definition. Godliness is better. He's saying, as much as you give pursuit to caring of the body, I want you to pursue more godliness. Or just as you pursue caring for the body, care for the soul. Don't ignore that. Bodily exercise profits a little. We spend a lot of time on bodily exercise. There's effort, time, go to the gym, expense. Bodily exercise is being advertised. There's television shows, videos, books, products, all for something that profits a little. Godliness, profitable for all things, having promise. Does your bodily exercise come with a promise? Maybe they'll say, if you do these things, but sometimes they'll have that little blurb at the bottom of the box, if it's a video or something, say, check with your doctor first. Don't just jump into this. It's a faithful saying. Godliness is a faithful saying that comes with a promise. That's an exercise that has profit. And he mentions what the profit is in verse 10. It says, to this end, we both labor, so godliness has some effort, some gumption, some some push, just like bodily exercise. Gonna have to give it something, sacrifice. So to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach. Oh. Not everyone's gonna like your godliness. We're not too fond of an exercise that labor and reproach. But Paul says, but to this end, in other words, there's a goal to this spiritual exercise. To this end, in other words, it benefits. And it benefits the life that now is and is to come. Bodily exercise is only for here. And that's okay. But godliness is for here and hereafter. It's a promise. In verse 10 it says, we trust. That's godly exercise. Trust in the living God who is the Savior. Trust. So, labor, that's your godly exercise. Suffer, yeah. And trust. Number four, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning of verse 11, Paul says, this is a faithful saying. That's how the text begins. Then there's these couplets. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. It's a faithful saying. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. The third one. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we, the fourth one, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So if we died with him, that has reference to our baptism. We died with him. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we died with him, we shall live. Newness of life. The second one, if we endure. Well, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, Paul says, therefore I endure all things. I endure. We should also reign with him. In Revelation 2, 10, just be faithful till death. I'll give you the crown of life. There's crown of glory. Crown of righteousness. Crowns. Yeah. If we endure. The third one, don't we deny him. You're familiar with this verse. He'll deny us. Matthew 10, verse 32. Jesus said it himself. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Then the fourth one. If we are faithless, the reference here is not to our belief, but rather to our fidelity. If we are faithless, in other words, if I lose my loyalty, if I'm not true to God, if I'm not faithful, if I quit, if I bail out, if I give up, in other words, if I'm faithless, if someone can separate themselves and absent themselves from worship and Bible study and prayer, they say, oh, but I still have faith. He's talking about your loyalty. If you are faithless, you're not in the fight. You're faithless. God remains faithful. There's the contrast. God will always be dependable. He will not be faithless. Jesus said in the Great Commission, after he sent the apostles out, go into all the world, the last phrase is in Matthew 28, verse 20, I'm with you always, even to the end. He's not faithless. He'll be there. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, for he himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We sometimes get faithless. lose our fidelity. But not God. Not God. Deny himself. In Titus 1 verse 2, Paul said, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. It's a faithful saying. All these couplets. Then the last one, in Titus 3 verse 8. The verse begins, this is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly. All right. Faithful saying. Affirm it constantly. That those, and the profitable, to men. So he says, these things I want you to affirm constantly. What things? The things he just mentioned in the preceding verses. In verses 4 through 7. Here's one of them. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, according to his mercy he saved us. That's a faithful saying. According to his mercy he saved us. The love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Don't protest that. It's a faithful saying. Don't give that up. This faithful saying takes us back to God's mercy and our salvation. To those who have believed in God, he said in the verse. That's us. He said, be careful to maintain good works because Jesus is Savior. Came into the world to save us. So be careful to maintain good works. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we need to hear that. My labor, the reproach, the trust, is not in vain in the Lord. It will work. It will not come back void. Don't protest that faithful saying. Don't belly up. Don't give up. These are five faithful sayings that Paul writes to Timothy and Titus. You have them in your notes. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. Song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament Church. No, you have not obeyed the gospel. You have that opportunity this morning. You've heard the good news message that God so loved the world. Jesus sent his apostles to every creature, preach that gospel message. And then we need to hear it and believe it. Right. Jesus said it himself in John 8, verse 24. Except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. And I don't want to perish. So I want to be a listener. God, give me the information. Give me the gospel, the good news. And I want to believe it. And I want to repent. Turn my life around. Turn my life toward you. And I want to confess my faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached to him in Acts chapter 8. He preached him a Jesus message. And the Ethiopian interrupts Philip. He says, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. The Ethiopian said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. Then Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water. And Philip baptized him right there. They come up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. And you heard me say it. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Always. So I want, if you've heard the good news, God still loved the world. You believe it. You want to really turn your life around. In other words, and you're willing to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son before witnesses, you can be baptized for remission of sins and rise to walk in newness of life. That's the invitation. So Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. So let's sing that invitation song that Dennis has selected for us. Let's stand together. And if desire, gospel, good message, just simply come to the front and let that request be made known at the close of the song.